Our kids' brains are not a computer. We're not filing information into our kids' brains. We're teaching them how to think, how to learn, and how to function in the real world.
Welcome to the Christy Faith Show, where we share game-changing ideas with intentional parents like you. I'm your host, Christy Faith, experienced educational advisor and homeschool enthusiast. Together, we'll explore ways to enrich and transform both your life and the lives of your children. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christy Faith Show, where again this week we are going to bring you game-changing ideas to transform both your life and the lives of your kids. We have a special guest here today, a friend of mine, Rachel Figg. She is a homeschooling mom of four and the creator of Spark Schooling. She developed the AMPS Learning Library, offering self-paced classes in art, music, PE, and STEM to homeschool families. Rachel is dedicated to partnering with parents to provide a well-rounded education, and she lives with her husband, Chris, and their children in upstate South Carolina. Rachel Figg, I am so glad that you came here today to spend time with us. And one thing I love about what you do is you do all the stuff I don't want to do in my homeschool.
Right.
I mean, That's how I initially found you was, where can I find electives for my kids? I found you first because we were between co-ops. Co-ops are usually where we do the science experiments and the electives and the PE and the running around. And we had a season where we were between co-ops, and I found you, and truly your program was a haven for us. We are doing art every Friday with your amazing art teacher, which you offer so much more that I'm excited to talk about. But the reason why I wanted you on today was to talk about meaningful ways to connect kids and their learning with other things, and to talk about how to cultivate a curiosity with our kids, and even if they aren't curious naturally. But first, I want you to introduce yourself. Will you share a little bit about who you are and how you came to be this lover of the beautiful?
Yeah, well, I am so happy to be here. Thank you so much again for inviting me to be on your show. So I started my career, my background is in music education, and I grew up around music. I grew up playing instruments, grew up loving music class at school and all of those things. Things that I just wanted to be a music teacher. So I went to school and became a music teacher, had several years that I taught in the public schools before I started to stay home with my kids and eventually start homeschooling. And it was around this time when I started homeschooling and started to really be, you know, gathering all of the curriculum and all of the things that I noticed that there was a lack of the subjects of all of the things that I loved. I loved music and I wanted art and I wanted, you know, this hands-on STEM, you know, application, like putting together math and science and getting kids excited to move and play games, those PE games and stuff like that. So that's where the idea came from. That's where I started to feel this itch. Like, I just wish there was something. Like, I wanted art classes for my kids and I just didn't want to drive somewhere. So I started to just have this whole thing like milling around in my mind. Like, I want more. And I just felt like the homeschool community just wanted more and could have more and could have of this beauty like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And eventually I just made something like that myself.
That's how so many things start. Like, I had another person on and they're like, well, I needed it, so I made it. And then someone said, you should sell it.
Yeah, exactly. And it really, I mean, I could teach my kids music and I was teaching them like all these fun, you know, game songs and about composers and fun ways. But I was like, oh, I really wanted art. And I was like, you know who I want to teach art to my kids? I want Catherine Strong to teach art to my kids. And so when I came around to creating this, I got Catherine Strong to teach art to my kids. And now she's teaching your kids too and all these other kids. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. And she's so good at teaching like the theory of it, but the product. I remember taking art classes in school and I would learn something like perspective, but I wouldn't have a cool product at the end of the lesson. It was just, I learned how to draw the lines. And But right off the bat, her very first lesson, they come up with this beautiful aquarium and they feel so accomplished.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you a little bit about, you have really become an advocate for this STEM, bringing beauty into the homeschools and making a voice for, hey, look, I know all of us moms are obsessed with the core subjects. Of course we are. We want our kids, we want them to read. We want them to have what they need now, and we want them prepared for a bright future, whether that be degree-free or college. We still want them prepared. And one thing I love about your voice is how you say, hey, look, the other subjects are just as important and enrich our lives. And I would love for just for to take a moment. I want to hit play on you where you just talk about your heart a little bit on how these other pieces are things not to forget in our homeschools and how they enrich our homeschool lives.
Yeah, that's so important. And we, you know, you were saying that about the core subjects. We have to do that. We have to include those. And sometimes we get so busy with those that it's easy to say, well, we'll put that off until later. And the really cool thing about the enrichment subjects like music or art and STEM and even PE is that they do things in our kids' brains that we don't even know and understand because they are using higher order thinking skills. Mm-hmm. They're learning to evaluate situations. They're looking at their art projects and evaluating that. They're listening to themselves play, you know, music or play musical instruments or read rhythms, and they're analyzing what is being done in front of them. And then they're evaluating their play, you know, the way they're playing and coming up with new ideas and creative ideas. And all of these things are higher order thinking skills. And those skills and the creativity that they learn through just through doing these fun things, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, intense, but just these fun activities in these enrichment subject areas can help our kids to develop these critical thinking skills, these higher order thinking skills that carry over, like that it's changing their brains and the way the pathways are being created in their brains in such a fun and low pressure way, so that when they start, you know, getting into harder concepts in their core subjects, those neural pathways have been created and those critical thinking, those higher order thinking skills, that creativity comes into play, and they get it, and they get those core concepts, those core things on such a deeper level. And they're able to think outside the box. They're able to think creatively, and they're used to not knowing the outcome right away. So they're curious, and they let that curiosity lead them down that path, and being okay with not knowing that, you know, the very finite, you know, like 1 + 1 = 2, you know, it's like discovery and wonder. So it's a really fun way to play with education and allow them to just experiment and go in a different direction that all kind of leads back to just someone who loves learning, somebody who just is excited and curious and always wants to learn more.
Yes, that's so vital. And I think that because most of us did not experience a non-traditional education. Most of us were probably put through the public school system or maybe a private school that looked very similar, probably used the same curriculum as the public schools. I think that one thing that is really hard to let go of as a homeschool parent is this piece that if it's fun, it's not school. And actually, I think it's in Peter Gray's book, Free to Learn, he talks about that when learning is done through play, the retention is like incredibly high, like way, way higher, unbelievably higher, which actually saves time, right? Yep. But also there's this piece of why do we feel like learning has to be work? And it's not, and by the way, music is hard. Music is hard, but we consider it an elective. And I always tell my kids, they will always do something with music until they graduate. But one of the, my parents let me quit instruments all throughout because I would give them pushback and they didn't have a lot of money anyway. So they would just kind of let me quit. I owe no fault to them. But one of the, I read the research on what you were saying on this, these neurological pathways with musicians. Their brains are so differently wired than people who aren't musicians. And this is why you get these musicians who are amazing mathematicians. That's not an accident. Right. This is what happened in their brains. Can you talk a little bit more about this, this piece of this play and the brain development and why that is equal to math or another core subject?
Yeah. So the way that, you know, math is very analytical. It's very, you know, just it's out there, you know, it doesn't seem very creative. But even through the research that they're doing in math, they're saying that if you can pull in the creative side of it, if you can pull in that creativity into it and you can help kids visualize it and play with it, that they are going to retain it and learn these math concepts even faster. So I know for my own kids and that doing math through play has been so vital for them, just learning about numbers and how numbers work. Just that has made it so much better for them to learn these difficult concepts when they see it acted out, or they're cooking in the kitchen, or they're, you know, they're learning the fractions. And my son, one of my kids, just finished a unit in math on fractions. He was like, "That was so easy." Well, guess what? He's my baker. He is always baking and he's always, we have a larger family. So we always are doubling recipes. So he's, you know, he's doing this all the time. He loves it. And it's just playing with it. It's not something we do for school necessarily, but it is, you know, it's that creative piece and those connections that we're bringing in from the real world to make it make sense to our kids. So when you see something in the core subjects that are just laid out there and it's just words on the page to them and it has no meaning, then it's really hard for them to visualize that. Yes. And, you know, and going back to what you said about musicians thinking differently. And there was one time when I was in school, when I was teaching, that we had this math of all things, this math seminar that all the teachers had to go to. So as a music teacher, I'm sitting in this math seminar and I was sitting at the table with our art teachers and our PE teachers and all the other extra type people. And they gave us this problem to creatively come up with, you know, however many ways you could solve this problem. Ah. Our table had the most and we were done the fastest.
So you guys demolished the other.
We did. But our brains are wired so differently because we were the music teachers and the art teachers and the PE. We think differently. So it just goes to show, like, there's definite, you know, this is a definite thing. Like this, when we can be creative with our learning and we can make it meaningful for our kids, it just leads to such better outcomes.
Before we continue, I want to share with you a program that has been a game changer for our family. At our learning center, we instructed and helped kids through pretty much every program on the market. So we know firsthand just how important a solid math foundation is for our kids' futures. Finding the right homeschool math curriculum that didn't compromise academic excellence, but also didn't put me and my kids through the ringer was a challenge. Until one day, I found CTC Math. You guys, the rest was history. First off, it's a mastery-based program, which means your child gets a full grasp of the material. It's also loaded with mixed reviews, ensuring your kids don't forget anything they've learned. The questions are adaptive too, which keeps students confident and progressing at their own pace. But the best part, all the teaching, grading, and testing, done for you. With CTC Math, there is no compromise on excellence. Your child gets a top-notch education, and you just made your homeschool life easier. Visit CTC Math to get your free trial today. Whether you're newer to homeschooling or you've been homeschooling over a decade, the fact is creating a streamlined, successful homeschool is hard. The pressure is high, and the weight of responsibility often leads to self-doubt, second-guessing,
and feeling completely overwhelmed with the excessive amounts of opinions and curricula options out there. We love our kids, and at the same time, the stakes are high. We don't want to mess this up. So how do we build a homeschool that our kids will thank us for when they're adults, and one that you have 100% confidence in? The first step to pulling all of that off is joining Thrive Homeschool Community. Thrive Homeschool Community is where you learn the 8-step homeschool success framework to build an undeniably successful homeschool. Each year and each kid presents us with uncharted territory. But when you have a good plan, the right plan, you can rest in the security and confidence that you are doing a great job. The path is easy. Join Thrive, say a quick hello to your new friends, start the 8-step homeschool success framework, and kiss anxiety goodbye. It's risk-free, no contracts. You can cancel anytime, no questions asked. Go to christy-faith.com. That's christy-faith.com. Enter promo code podcast for $10 off your first month. See you inside.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, one thing in my homeschool is I did what you mentioned earlier. When I first started out homeschooling, I was really just replicating what, you know, I wasn't fully de-schooled yet. This is why I spent an entire chapter on, I like to phrase de-schooling more as, I like to call it restorative thinking, because I want to restore what a true education is. And I feel like you can't put things, take something away without replacing it with, like when you quit smoking, or when you don't lose weight by stop eating. You lose weight by replacing the foods with healthier, more nutritious foods, right? So what's this restorative thinking piece to it? But one of the things when I first started homeschooling is I was so anxious ridden with, is that even a word? Anxious ridden? Is that even a phrase? I had so much anxiety over finishing everything that by the time, and I was, my oldest was 5, 6. I had 2-year-old twins. I had a 7-month-old baby. When we finally finished those core subjects, I was exhausted. I didn't get to those things that were the reason why I was homeschooling in the first place. And I knew that I wanted to get to art and music and composer study and listening to classical music and doing art studies, exposing ourselves to the great thinkers of our time. But I was too exhausted. And the one thing that I had to realize was that there's only so many hours in the day, and I'm only human. And so what it took, though, was I really had to de-school myself a little bit and say, okay, why is the entire day packed with all these core things? How important are they really? And is my kid falling in love with learning? And that's a really great question for our listeners to ask themselves right now. Evaluate your homeschools for a second. Are your children falling in love with learning? And I know that's something, Rachel, that you're passionate about. How can incorporating these beauty subjects and STEM into our home, which I would consider STEM, all of the STEM beauty subjects, how can we incorporate these to really ultimately build the homeschools that we're dreaming of anyway, but we're not able to accomplish because we're too ding-dong tired?
Right. Yes. And you're not alone with the whole, like, it took a long time to reframe that. And for me as well. And I was very, even from the beginning, very passionate about including music in my homeschool. And I was having a hard time getting that, making time for that. So if anyone is listening and thinking the same thing, like, you are not alone. And I have had art teachers and music teachers sign up for my program, because the same thing, like former art teachers, former music teachers,
sign their kids up for
our membership and for our programs, because they value it, but they don't have the time. Mm-hmm. So it's a very common thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that the key to getting these things in and to making it make sense for your kids is to connect it, like to have resources that are available, things that you can just plug in, that it makes sense and it helps your kids to go, you know, take it a level deeper to become a little bit more curious about what they're learning because it's connected to something else. So for example, there are a couple of art classes that are that we offer in our program that are connected to ancient Egypt. So there's a beautiful lesson that's the Egyptian Starry Night, and it's drawing the pyramids, but putting it kind of into Van Gogh's Starry Night. So you're learning geometry. You could plug that in with, you know, if you're learning geometry, you could plug that in drawing the pyramids, plug it in to ancient history and also art history, learning Van Gogh. So we're learning all of these things. And even if you aren't, you know, doing ancient Egypt right then, you know, they're going to hear about ancient Egypt eventually. Yes. And it's going to, or maybe you did a few years ago, and it's going to connect that learning, and it's going to make it so much more meaningful to your kids. And then they might say, well, what else can I draw? Or what else, you know, maybe they want to learn more about Van Gogh, or maybe they want to learn more about drawing three-dimensional shapes, or maybe they want to learn more about ancient Egypt, you know, so that could spark that love for learning in any of those areas, or something, or oil pastels, because that's the medium that's being used. So maybe we want to learn more about oil pastels and do more oil pastel projects. So there's so much that can be sparked from just something like that, like, and bringing it in. Maybe you've connected it to ancient Egypt, but now they're on an oil pastel, you know, journey. So it's bringing in these new things that are connected in some way and allowing them to take whatever they're curious about and run with it after that.
I love that. And you know, what was brought to my mind when you were saying that is, I think that a lot of us feel like we have to do these units, like we're now doing an ancient Egypt unit and everything we do has to be every art project, all that. I just want to give mamas the freedom right now who are listening, it's more beneficial to have the random pop-ups. Okay. So for example, we've done that Starry Night ancient Egypt one. Yesterday we were at our science museum in downtown Denver and they were begging me to go see the mummies. And then it was reinforced again. There was a gentleman that had the cart and he was going over the mummification process at his little cart. And that reinforcement, you know, that is where the retention happens. It's not when you've spent 3 weeks covering one thing and then you move on and never revisit that again. Doing that retention piece of revisiting things. So yeah, and that's the beauty about doing a more interest-led homeschool with some subjects is that you can take that little bunny trail and it's not a wasted time at all. If anything, it's going to spark a new interest and maybe give you an idea for something else. And then circling back, it's just all this, our brain categorizes things beautifully. It does a lot of work for us and our kids. And so it took me a while because I was a teacher in the classroom where it was like I taught history and literature and language arts writing. And so it was like, we are now doing our unit on World War II. And it was, everything had to be related to that. And then we never visited it again. Well, how are those kids going to retain what they learned? They're not. It's when you keep cycling back and revisiting really cool things that interested them is, you know, so I've changed the way I do things. Like, we are not currently in World War II history, but our read aloud this last month was The Hiding Place with Corrie ten Boom, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to fit tightly in a box, right?
No, and it can for some things can, and then other times it doesn't have to, you know, so you can do it however it falls and just be careful or just be thankful that it did and be thankful for these learning opportunities that came up, that time at the museum with your kids. Like that's a delight when that happens, when you see your kids that get excited over something that you covered, you know, a while ago. Like it's so much more freeing because we know that when our kids are curious and love learning, we don't have to worry that they're going to, you know, like be bored ever, because they're going to want to find out more. And if you had tried to cram all of that ancient Egypt stuff in together. And it was ancient Egypt. Okay, let's go to the science museum now. Yeah. Or let's go to Egypt. I mean, like, let's do everything Egypt that we could possibly do. You know, they might be like, okay, mom, gosh, Egypt, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and then not want anything else to do with it. Yeah. But when they come back to it and we're not stressed about it, we're not pointing out every little Egyptian thing, they can start to develop those interests on their own. Mm-hmm. And see things and be like, wow, that was so cool. I mean, we do this as adults. We do this outside the classroom. This is how we learn. And I was explaining that to my kids the other day because, you know, they were talking about like, when are we going to be done with school? Like how long do we do school for? You know, all of these things. And I was like, well, guess what? You never stop learning because I'm still learning. And he's like, oh.
Yes.
And it was kind of an exciting thing, not like, oh, yeah. But, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, like you are always learning. They see me learning. They see me reading and looking things up and learning new skills. And I think that that's, you know, super important for our kids to see, mm-hmm. see us be curious and always wanting to learn new things.
Well, isn't that fascinating too? Because I am always learning new things, but I gotta say, 10 years ago, if you were to ask me the types of things that I would need to be learning to do what I do for my job, I would not even have fathomed. Like, you're going to be learning video editing, for example, things like that. And I feel mm-hmm. like, think about that with our own homeschools. What is the world going to look like in 10, 20 years? We can't even fathom it. So rather than trying to prepare them for a world that won't actually exist, you know, with AI and all this stuff, the computer mm-hmm. programs that I have had to learn, they did not exist when I was in college. It's so funny. My husband has a degree in business marketing and he's like, even the philosophy of business marketing that he learned in undergrad is like debunked, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the way that you sales messaging and marketing and things like that, it has completely changed from when he was in school. He said, I've like earned 3 master's degrees over and over again, MBAs, you know, basically having to relearn my own industry. And so when we have that perspective which actually is reality, we do not know what the world is going to look like mm-hmm. in 10 and 20 years, but we still want our kids prepared for anything they want to do. How does embracing more than just the core subjects, embracing and getting that fostering that love of learning, how does that prepare our kids better? Because I think it does, and I think you do too.
Yes, absolutely. This is where that activating those higher order thinking skills and teaching our kids to think and to think for themselves and to really evaluate what they are learning and how they're learning, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. just telling them the answers or what the answers will be on the test or, you know, any of that, just this equals that. Our kids' brains are not a computer. We're not filing information into our kids' brains. We're teaching them how to think, how to learn, mm-hmm. and how to function in the real world. Mm-hmm. And this is what is going to prepare them for whatever career is out mm-hmm. there for them when they get there. Mm-hmm. When I was in school, like you were saying, I wasn't being prepared for, you know, doing anything that I'm doing now. I was mm-hmm. not prepared for this, but I've learned it over the years and I've learned it because I had a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. I was able and willing to put in that work to learn what I needed to because I was taught how to think and mm-hmm. how to learn. So it's very big distinction there. We don't want to just teach our kids information. They're not computers. They are living, breathing humans that mm-hmm. need to be taught how to think critically, how to, mm-hmm. you know, use these skills, to use these higher order thinking skills mm-hmm. to really deeply learn and be set up to be learners for life.
The show will resume in just a minute, but first I want to share with you an incredible resource that is totally free to homeschooling families everywhere.
Have you ever felt like you were on trial for your homeschooling choice when visiting a doctor or another service provider? It's unsettling, especially when someone misinformed has the power to threaten your family. Unfortunately, we have heard countless stories of parents who have felt trapped in offices and met with suspicion rather than support simply because they were homeschoolers. I've been profiled and interrogated myself, and I'm sure many of you have as well. Enough is enough. It's time we proactively vet service providers before giving them our business and our money. Enter Christy Faith's List, a directory 100% free to homeschooling families, connecting you with homeschool-friendly service providers who promise to support you in your homeschooling choice. We want every homeschooler in America to know about and be using this list. So here's how to make Christy Faith's List a household name. One, tell all your friends about it. Let's show the market just how powerful the homeschool movement is. Number two, check Christy Faith's List website before stepping foot into any service provider's office to make sure they are on there. And number three, if your favorite service provider isn't on the list, make sure to refer them. There's a button on the homepage of the website. It takes only 30 seconds, and that way we can send them a lovely invite. If you're listening and you are a homeschool-friendly professional, we want you on the list. We're eager to connect homeschooling families with you, shout your name from the rooftops, and bring you tons and tons of business. We have plans for every type of business, both small, local, nationwide, and worldwide. Check out ChristyFaithsList.com today. Hi, Mama. If you like my social media content and my show, I'm pretty sure you will love my book, Homeschool Rising, Shattering Myths, Finding Courage, and Opting Out of the School System. My book is for homeschool parents, both veteran and new, and the perfect book to hand any homeschool skeptics in your life so they can better understand why you've chosen this amazing lifestyle. This book will challenge you, empower you, encourage you, and give you solid, mindful answers to all those questions you get about your homeschooling choice. Grab your copy and maybe an extra one for your mother-in-law today. Homeschool Rising is available wherever books are sold.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What should we do when I have a kid like this, doesn't really love the arts, mm-hmm. not really into it, not naturally inclined? One of my kids even has an eye tracking issue that makes even writing on a line mm-hmm. very challenging. So I actually enrolled this child in an art class and had to unenroll because it was simply because it was too advanced. It wasn't an appropriate challenge. Mm-hmm. And now that child feels like they don't like art. They don't, mm-hmm. and you know, so we have that, but it's not just that. It's any parent who's like, well, this sounds all great, Rachel, but what if my kid's not really interested in art, music, PE, you know, amps type stuff that you mm-hmm. guys do? I agree with you. This is so important, but what if they're just not interested?
That's valid. And especially the eye tracking problem, yeah. it's hard. Mm-hmm. And one of my kids also was not – one of my kids is very artistic, and his older brother isn't as artistic as he is. And he mm-hmm. felt really less than and didn't want to do art because mm-hmm. he felt like he wasn't good enough. And mm-hmm. we had to work through some things, but everybody has their strengths. And this is what I told them. Now, opposite it for those children is their athleticism. You know, one is great mm-hmm. on the field. He loves playing sports, and the other one doesn't want to ever play on a team sport. You know, never. Just please no. I don't want to play on a team sport. You know, we tried when he was very little and he just ran off the field. Like, he was very, very little still. So he just was like, no, I can't. And it's anxiety for him. Like, it's that, you know, that anxiety behind it. But I want my kids to have the skills that those things bring. And it's just like how you said you want your kids to be in music, be involved in mm-hmm. music, because you have chosen for them to do that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is super important, that we think about what is important to us as the mm-hmm. parent, as the educator, mm-hmm. and keeping in mind what our interests of our kids are. And so the way that we've put together Spark Schooling and all of the classes that we offer is that it's so low pressure and just exploratory based. Like, just do what you can. Nobody's looking over your shoulder to see if you did that exactly right. Or in this music class, if you can't keep the rhythm with us, nobody is going to be chiding you for that, but you were exposed to reading rhythms and you can play them on these instruments or on our buckets. You know, we use buckets for drumming and you can experience these things. My kids have learned the like dribbling skills, you know, for soccer and shooting skills and all of these things. My son is still not going to go and play on a organized team. He's not going to, but maybe when he's in college and the guys in his dorm want to go and play a pickup game of soccer, he'll know how to play soccer. And, you know, and my other son who, you know, doesn't feel like he's super artistically inclined, he has gotten actually so much better. And I just told him, it doesn't matter what it looks like in the end. Just do it. Just enjoy it. See what you can learn. This is not for, there's no pressure here. And so his art skills have improved. His handwriting has improved. It's keeping the expectations low. If they love art, if they love a sport, put them in something extra. Put them in, you know, that on that team or in that special art class, that advanced art class, or in piano lessons or, you know, an instrument or something like that. If they have the interest and they have the desire and they have, you know, done all of that. But if they aren't sure or they've never been exposed or they're not, you know, super excited about it, but you still want them to be exposed to it in a little bit of, you know, in a little way, then do some things that are low pressure, that are easy for them to just sit down and do with no expectations other than having fun and learning new skills and doing your best.
I ask everybody this, and it's not to be negative. It's because when I have experts in their field on my podcast, it's very, and usually they are people who are doing something like you. You did something about this homeschool issue that you saw to solve a very real problem. And that is homeschool moms are struggling to incorporate these beautiful things that should be in, we all want them in our homeschools, but we feel taxed. We're too busy. Maybe we work. Maybe you're a little bit like me and I really struggle with art projects because my house is a mess. And so, and me planning them, I don't want to go to Michael's and spend $300 and I don't want to be searching on Pinterest for 3 hours, you know, trying to find an art project to do so that we can make sugar cubes out of, you know, with whatever. medieval castle out of sugar cubes. And the reason why, and I'm going to ask you, what is something in your particular field that you just can't get behind? Is there any messages out there that you just wish weren't there? You know, I've had reading experts on where some of what they're saying, you know, there's advice out there that's downright damaging to children. I don't know if that would necessarily be you, maybe, but I always ask this because we always need to be evaluating on a higher level. What is an education? A lot of us are on social media and anyone can say anything on social media. And they probably, a lot of people don't have the credentials to even be saying those things. So is there anything in your industry in particular that you just can't get behind or that frustrates you?
Yes. I really, it's not everything, but a lot of what I see for composer studies and even picture studies bother me. And it's the approach to them. It's look at this picture, like you were saying about 1 point perspective. Look at this picture. Look at the 1 point perspective. Cool. You know, I mean, can we do something with this information that's more fun and more engaging? Yes. You know, what is the point of looking for 1 point perspective in a painting if you're not going to use it? And composer studies, when we get too into the composer's life, that can be problematic. And I don't think that we need to be going deeply into these composers' lives or even really focusing on just listening to their works until we can name them. Because what good does that do? Like, I listen to Bach, and we're just going to listen to this Bach CD over and over. And then whenever they hear it, they can say Bach. Like, what does that do? That does nothing for our kids. Right. And, you know, now I do in my music classes, we learn about the composers. We learn a little bit about their life and we listen to their music, but then we always go and do something with it.
Yes.
So if we're listening to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and we're, you know, listening to the dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. We learn that that little short musical piece, that little musical section is called a motive. Then I have the kids actually go and play that motive on a digital xylophone that I created that they can access online. But it's like they are playing this motive over and over. And that's going to help them understand what motive is, what a motive is, and how to, you know, recognize that later. If they hear, if they hear it, they're going to be like, oh, that's Beethoven. And that's, you know, I remember playing that on the digital xylophone. Or if we're listening to, you know, another piece of music and it's, we're following the rhythm. Well, they're going to hear it later on and they're going to do the little rhythm pattern we did with our clapping and stamping and, you know, whatever it was that we came up with. And maybe they'll remember who the composer is. Maybe not, but it doesn't matter because they have done something and learned something that was meaningful and activated those higher order thinking skills and didn't stop at just like, yep, that was Bach. I can recognize that now. So that's the problem that I have with composer studies and picture studies. And even, you know, when it comes to STEM, it's just like learning, if you're learning math or science and not applying it, that's another, you know, form of this. It's just learning about things and doing nothing with it. It doesn't do our kids any good. And it really just wastes time.
If you're enjoying the show and you don't want to miss out on future episodes, hit that like and subscribe button and show us some love with your comments. Those 5-star reviews really do make a difference.
Yeah. And one thing that I was hearing that I love is naturally you are incorporating all different learning modalities, which is great. You know, one thing, I was a curriculum writer. We have written SAT, AC, all sorts of curriculum. And one thing that I think can be a trap is moms are really insecure and they want something to do and they want to. And so they think, oh, Charlotte Mason, I should be doing picture study. I'm going to go buy a picture study. And because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then they go and they do the picture study. But what people need to realize is they really need to always be asking themselves, why? Why am I doing this? What is the benefit for my kid in doing this? Because the thing about curriculum and curriculum selling and curriculum making and curriculum writing is that often they are delivering what parents want because they need to sell it, and they're neglecting what they actually need.
Right.
And I think this is a really important thing to recognize, especially right now. We're filming this in February. This will air during curriculum buying season. What a great message to say. Actually is that, you know, be careful. They tickle your ears. They sell you what they think you want. They sell you what they know will sell. And well-meaningly so,
right.
Well-meaningly so, because those things can be a fit for you, but never feel guilty if it isn't, right? Like picture study could work really well if your kid is just a dominant visual processor and eats that stuff up. But what if you have some kids like mine who are bouncing off the walls, getting them to sit to stare at a picture for 5 minutes isn't going to happen. You don't feel guilty because you couldn't do it that particular way, basically is the message. And the benefit of homeschooling is we get to curate the educational experiences for our kids. That is also a Charlotte Mason philosophy, by the way, is this atmosphere piece. But, you know, and just, I think we do a lot of that with a lack of confidence. We want a structure because we don't want to mess up. None of us do. With that, I feel like your program has helped me not mess up because I'm not artistically gifted. Like I said, my parents let me quit all of my instruments. And so this is an area that I really wanted to reclaim for my own family. Can you take a minute to explain exactly how AMPS works?
Yeah, of course. So we have our AMPS learning library, and AMPS stands for art, music, physical education, and STEM. And this is our membership where we include everything that we've created that are in these like library resource formats. And it's a video library. So you can go in and search for these classes that connect to anything you're studying, or you can go just in order, follow our guides, anything, any way you want to do. There's no wrong way to do it. We also offer each of those libraries separately. So if you just wanted art, you could just do our art library with your kids. And then we break it down even further as well. And we've got smaller little bundles of little just samples or little collections of classes that go together in some way. So we have like a spring collection. Mm-hmm. We have a whole summer camp that you can get for the summertime or just some art things that are just art or just the, you know, so it's a really great way to try some things out for maybe you're doing a unit. We're going to have a Planets unit coming out that has music and art.
So, oh, we're doing that because my kids were loving the planetarium at the science museum yesterday. Yeah.
Did you do the watercolor planets with your kids?
I don't recall. I don't know if we've gotten there yet.
Well, you'll have to do that one. And then there's also in the music, there's the Holst planets. So you can go and check that out as well.
Now, when someone joins, do they have access to everything?
So if you join the membership, the AMPS Learning Library membership, you will have access to everything. If you just want one subject, then you'll get everything from that single subject. And then the smaller little things that we've pulled from that, you can purchase those separately as well.
Okay. Oh, that sounds great. Well, everybody, you heard it here. AMPS Homeschool is a great way to incorporate all those things that you want for your kids, but maybe you don't have time for whatever season you're in, or maybe it's difficult for you to plan. I had you in Thrive too, and the feedback on your workshop was amazing. It was just so meaty. So that was such a blessing that you came and poured out even more of your heart and soul and knowledge and research in our community. And at the end, everyone's like, I don't know if you saw those comments, but they said, you need her on the podcast too. And so we quickly made sure that you came. So we're going to put some links in the show notes. You can do some sample classes and try this out before you buy anything. I'm really thankful that you're in the homeschool space. You're one of the people that is making homeschooling easier and better for us. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a pleasure. You have my heart. We run to where we belong. I told you, you are the one. You're